CGTV.
I'm going to do one more show on Beyond Politics, and this is it. God has put the superior authorities into place. Superior, the word superior does not speak of sterling moral character, but of position of rulership on the earth. Any party or any president, any prime minister, only in this era as has temporary jurisdiction over the earth. It is Israel's right. It is Israel's destiny to be over the earth. No other nation. So any nation now that is over the earth, over their own sectors of the earth, Paul explains how that happened in Romans chapter 11. Israel gave up her right for the time being to rule the earth, and so God has placed the nations in the place of Israel. And it's the nations now, Gentile peoples, non-Israelites, who have jurisdiction over the earth. This is a continual thorn in the side of Israel. And I'm not necessarily talking about the people who are presently squatting on the Holy Land. They are not the true tenants of that land. They are imposters. They don't belong there. It's a travesty. And any true Israelites will be pained by this fact. God will violently overthrow the current tenants of the Holy Land, and it is Holy Land, make no mistake. Holy means separated unto God for His use. That land has been separated, set apart for God's use, and like everything else in the world, it is being trampled by heathen, trampled by those who do not fear God or His name, and don't know His purpose or His person. Not only Israel, but every other acre of ground on this earth. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. You may have a deed for your particular parcel of land, your acreage, where your house sits, but you also are a squatter. You're a temporary resident. You don't own it. You own it relatively. God owns it absolutely. And besides, those to whom I am speaking, the majority of whom are the body of Christ, our realm is not inherent here on this earth. This is simply the stage that was created for our suffering and our education. This earth is where we are being tried and tested, so that we will come through, and we will come through fit and prepared to rule not on earth, but in the heavens. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. Not so Israel. Israel's realm is inherent on the earth, in accord with the Abrahamic covenant, when God says to Abraham, "In you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Until that time, while we are living here suffering, I guess you could say that it is fitting for there to be bad governance. It helps us suffer more. Thanks, God. But, as I always say, He's not doing it to you, He's doing it for you. But He is doing it. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 13, when he tells us to be subject to the superior authorities. Back to Israel, though. God will clear the table, that is, rid the earth of all human governments. And some governments are better than others. Yes, I hate it when people say all governments are alike. That is baloney. No, not all governments are alike. There are evil ones and there are better ones. You could speak of the lesser of two evils, or three or four or five evils. Yes, there are lesser evils. Don't know of anyone who wants to live in Venezuela right now. Would you rather live in the United States or Venezuela? Would you rather have lived in Hitler's Germany or in Reagan's America? I'm just saying. Would you have rather lived under Stalin? I'll take Jimmy Carter over Stalin. I'm just saying. God will give this earth to Israel. He'll clear the table. He'll put His law, write His law on the corporate heart of Israel. Israel will be gathered after the tribulation from the north, south, and the east, and the west, and they will be brought to Zion. And from there, a political kingdom will go forth from Zion, from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital of the earth, the earth. Israel will be the headquarters, but the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that will be compliments of Israel. Yes, Israel. But it will be the true Israel. Not the fleshly Israel. They will be literal descendants of Jacob, with the exception of proselytes, who I believe are also in that kingdom. People such as the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius. Men of the nations who attached themselves to Israel, Ruth of Moab, she's a part of that. The Gibeonites from days of yore, anyone who attached themselves to the God of Israel and who put their hope and expectation in the God of Israel will eat the fruit of the salvation of Israel by God. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. Leave it for Israel. This earth isn't ours. Leave it. Leave it for Israel. It's going to be easy for us to leave this earth when Christ returns for us, because it has not been deeded to us. It has been deeded to Israel. Many people tell me, "I want to be on this earth, Martin." Well, sorry about your luck. If you're in the body of Christ, you're going to be in heaven. But don't worry. As I've told you many times, you can visit the earth from heaven. You are free to come and go on the earth as you please. So don't get too upset about it. Don't be too emotionally attached to Disneyland or the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or the Great Wall of China. Most of these places probably won't exist after the tribulation, but you can visit the site. Yeah, this was the site of Disneyland. But the real Disneyland will be in Jerusalem, with the rebuilt temple, described by Ezekiel in chapter 44, with Jesus Christ there as the chief priest, David the king. Gonna be great. The wine will be flowing like water. Sorry, Baptists, it won't be grape juice. The Baptists won't be there anyway. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities, for there is no authority except under God. And in the Concordant version, that word no has a superscript T on top of it. I don't know if you can see it down here. Probably not. That means there is not an authority. It's the emphatic no. It's not just N-O, it's not. There is no such thing. It's impossible for there to be an authority on this earth, whether good or evil, that is not of God. God has set everyone in place, the good and the bad. And as I said, there are good and there are bad. There are governments that are better than others. There are rulers who are kind. Many kings in Israel were glorious, gorgeous, wonderful kings. Some kings were evil. Read the Old Testament. Not all the kings of Israel were created equal. David, for instance, contrast him with Saul. Many other contrasts with the king of Israel. Today, we have some leaders that are good, some leaders that are evil. Some forms of government are better than others. I'll say something shocking now before I continue with Romans chapter 13, and that is this, that the best form of government is a dictatorship. Not now. Why? Because we can't trust humans with a dictatorship. Because power corrupts human flesh. Human flesh wants power, for the sake of lording it over other people. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We do not want a dictatorship here. History has taught us that dictatorships in this current era always, always go bad and become the cause of death of millions of people. However, one person in charge of everything is the cleanest way to govern. When Christ returns to set up his kingdom, a political kingdom, on this earth for 1,000 years, plainly stated to be 1,000 years, plainly stated to be a political kingdom. Read Daniel chapter 2. In the days of those kings, I will set up my kingdom. All the kings gone before were literal kings. Likewise, Jesus is going to be a literal king with David for a literal kingdom. It's literal, 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 literal. Anybody who says that the kingdom spoken of by Jesus Christ, by Daniel, by the prophets, by the psalmist, anyone who says that kingdom is a figurative kingdom, no, because all the kingdoms before were literal. And when Daniel describes the image of Nebuchadnezzar with the head of gold, chest of bronze, or chest of silver, legs of bronze, feet of iron and clay. Well, those were literal kingdoms. That image is destroyed by a stone. And the kingdom that succeeds it is also a literal kingdom, because that's the pattern. We'll be able to watch it from on high and visit it as dignitaries. Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities, for there is not authority. There's no authority except under God. Now those which are have been set by God. It isn't like he allows certain governments to happen or he allows certain leaders to come onto the world stage. No, he sets them in place. Active verb. They have been set by God so that he who is resisting an authority has withstood God's mandate. I said yesterday that if you have the inclination, you can work within legal channels to change the government, change the laws, make it better. Yes, do it. You have my blessing. But when it comes to overthrowing the government, or when it comes to a coup d'etat, taking out by violent means, or resisting by violent means the government in place, you are withstanding God's mandate. Doesn't mean when it's time to vote, you can't vote the jerk out. Of course. That's different. I used to say that, well, it's a good thing not to vote because God puts who he wants in place, but that's fatalism. Don't do that. I used to do that. If you don't want to vote, the best reason not to vote is if you have decided to remain clear of politics and not understand the issues, you don't care who's running, that's great. I highly recommend it. I have to stay a little bit conversant in politics because I want to be aware of what's happening in the final years of Millennium 6, but anyone who wants to drop out, I highly recommend it. In that case, you shouldn't vote because you don't know what the hell's going on. But this resistance spoken of by Paul is an active hatred of whoever is in charge. That's a form of resistance, an active hatred, no respect. Even when there were presidents in place here in the United States that I hated, I had respect for the office, and I was peaceable toward that person, even though I might have disagreed with everything they did. When it was time to vote, yes, I could vote them out. If it was time to, you know, maybe call your representative, sure, I never did it, but I'm not against it. It's part of the process of a democracy, which is a decent form of government nowadays as opposed to a dictatorship. And please don't say all governments are alike. Please don't say that. They're alike only in this respect. They've all been set by God. God has put them all into place. And they are all designed to ultimately not satisfy you. Even the best of the governments will not ultimately satisfy. They are all designed to, in their own way, fail. That is the purpose of the 6,000 years of the rule of man upon the earth, is to try every single possible form of government known to humanity and to fail to bring the peace, the plenty, and the prosperity to all. That's what everyone wants. They want the nirvana. They want the government that will bring peace, prosperity to everyone. But it never happens, does it? Even with the best of governments, surely not with the worst, even the best of governments lack. There is no one righteous, no, not one. That applies to individuals. It also applies to human government. God has set aside 6,000 years to prove to humanity by practical experience that humans pretty much suck at governing. Some are better than others, but overall it's a failed enterprise. But is it? No, not absolutely. It's a perfect thing for humans to fail at bringing that nirvana that everyone wants, because then the road is cleared for Christ to do it. Then we long for the return of Christ to straighten everything out. There's no justice today. Wish there was. Those that are have been set by God so that he was resisting an authority has withstood God's mandate. You want to fight God? Then fight while losing your peace with the superior authority. Go ahead. You're going to lose your peace. As far as I know, I'm the only guy who ties in the beginning of Romans 13 with the end of Romans 12. And this is critical to understand. Many of you have heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again because it deals specifically with my book, which is called Beyond Politics by Martin Zender. Order it today at martinzender.com. How many times have I heard people say, well, yes, we are to be subject to the superior authorities as long as they're good, as long as they're agreeable, as long as we like them. But as soon as they become evil, and who becomes the judge of what's evil? Everybody has a different opinion. Every man and woman becomes his or her own judge and jury on the government to decide whether or not to be submissive or not to that government, depending on whether they think it's good or evil. This is not what Paul is saying. In fact, the only reason people would need exhorted to be subject to government is if it's an evil government. Who needs to be exhorted to be subject to a good government? This is why I say that you can't start Romans 13:1 at Romans 13:1. Romans, all the chapter headings and verse numbers are uninspired. They were added later. Paul didn't write Romans 13:1. He never would have heard of it. 13:1, he just wrote a big long letter. This whole section starts at 12:31. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Read the whole end part of Romans chapter 12. It's about conquering evil with good. Most people rebel against evil, and they want to go out and kill evil, and they want to stage a coup against evil. And Paul says they want to fight evil with evil. That's what they want to do. They want to fight evil with evil. No, Paul says conquer evil with good. And then right after that, he says, conquer evil with good. Then he says, be subject, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. In other words, being subject to this, and I would put a colon at the end of Romans 12:31. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Colon, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. That's how it reads. Never start Romans 13:1 at 13:1. Because now, be subject to the superior authorities is a way to conquer evil with good. When you look at it this way, the good of the context is being subject to the superior authority. But Martin, we can't do it unless the superior authority is good. No, in this context, the superior authority is evil. Conquer evil, watch, conquer evil with good. Watch my fingers on the car cam. Paul says, in 12:31, conquer evil with good. Paul, how do we do that? Be subject to the superior authorities. So the subjection is the good of the context, and the evil, and the superior authority is the evil of the context. The superior authority must be evil for this passage to even make sense. Be subject to the superior authorities. Conquer evil with good. Conquer evil, the superior authority, with good subjection. The superior authority must be evil, or there's no point in it. This means that the subjection is the same in any era. We don't have to look at the era to say, well, that was good back then, but it's not good now. That becomes a subjective opinion of people, what's good and what's evil. That's not the case at all. We're not supposed to have watchdogs to see if the government stays good and then we'll be subject to it, but if as soon as it goes bad, we're not going to be subject to it. No, you're supposed to be subject to it all. And again, it's an evil authority in this context. I remind you that the ruler of the world in Paul's day was Nero. You won't find a more heinous, more cruel, more evil dictator than Nero. And Paul says, be subject to Nero, basically, be subject to the superior authorities. Because in that day, some people weren't being subject to Rome. And they were disobeying the superior authorities, and they were rebelling. Yes, Christians rebel. Can you imagine? Even back then, the believers were tended to take matters into their own hands. Paul says, I want you to lead a mild and quiet life. He says that later. I'll get into this tomorrow. He wants them to lead a mild and quiet life, and he says, not in vain is the authority wearing the sword. Be subject, and you will get good. What if the authority is evil? But no, any authority is happy with you if you're subject to them. You won't get in trouble. Just do what they say. Do what they say. But what if it goes against my conscience? Well, you have recourse here. Paul is saying, be subject to the superior authority. You can overcome your conscience. It's part of your conscience. It's part of doing what's right. You're actually doing what's right to be subject to an evil authority. That should agree with your conscience. If you resist the evil authority because you think you're doing right, I'm on a righteous crusade, I'm resisting the evil authority, then your conscience should bother you because you're not being subject to authorities who have been put in place by God. This is God's mandate on the earth. God's mandate, not yours. Yes, you can vote. Yes, you can put your 2 cents in. But when it all comes out, who's in charge of it all? Who's in charge of the votes? Yes, the people vote. Some people will say, no, votes don't count. You know, I think, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. Whether votes count or not, God puts who he wants. It doesn't. He can do it through votes. He can do it through a coup d'etat. He can do it through an appointment by humans. It doesn't matter how it happens on the earth. God is doing it. Do we always like it? No. Do we sometimes hate it? Yes. But cool down, because it's not going to last much longer.